This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Self will. For you I strive and wrestle, for I am yours and you are mine, and where I am you may remain, the foe shall not divide us.
Though he will shed my precious blood of life,
the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In humanity's darkest moments, God sometimes reveals his most brilliant and blinding light. This eternal truth radiates powerfully in our Old Testament reading of Jeremiah chapter 33, where we see a prophecy of a righteous branch from David's line, a future leader who will execute judgment and justice on the earth, demonstrating God's sovereign ability to bring new life from what appeared to be a dead royal line. The prophecy emerges during Judah's darkest hour, the final months before Jerusalem's devastating fall to Babylon. In this critical period, Jeremiah finds himself imprisoned in the court of the guard by King Zedekiah, not for any crime, but for preaching divine truth rather than preaching comforting and flattering lies like the false prophets always did. The city's desperate situation is evident as houses are now being demolished to reinforce the walls against the Babylonian siege engines, but they all know it is just a matter of time before the city falls. Go backwards a few years, the spiritual decay began generations earlier under King Ahaz. Nebuchadnezzar had already forcibly relocated many Jews to Babylon, including notable figures like Daniel and his companions. The final four kings of Judah demonstrated consistent wickedness, leading their people into apostasy, including burning incense to Baal in the temple. But yet in this moment of despair, when it looked as though the house of David had completely abandoned its divine calling, God speaks a surprising word to the prophet Jeremiah, declaring a new beginning, a righteous branch who would restore true worship and establish justice. This is an interesting phrase. The term tzemach, or branch, appears 12 times in Scripture as a messianic title, and it carries with it a great deal of theological significance. If you think about it, unlike typical royal imagery depicting mighty objects such as mighty trees, perhaps an oak tree, this term specifically means a tender sprout emerging from seemingly dead ground. And so this metaphor is very unusual for royalty. It combines both vulnerability and divine strength. And this was first introduced to us in Isaiah's prophecy back in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 11, of a rod of the stem of Jesse. What makes this branch imagery striking to me is how unique it is in ancient Near Eastern royal rhetoric and propaganda. While other monarchs always portrayed themselves through powerful symbols, perhaps the cedars of Lebanon, or fierce and majestic animals, God deliberately chose this most humble metaphor of new growth, a twig coming out of a dead stump. This represents the Messiah as fresh growth from David's fallen line, emphasizing God's preference for humility over worldly power. The Hebrew term implies an organic, living growth rather than any type of manufactured strength. Just as a sprout draws its life from its hidden roots, the branch would derive his authority not from political power, but from his divine nature. And this prophetic vision found its perfect fulfillment in Christ, who demonstrated both divine authority and profound humility. He was born in poverty, he lived a life of service, and he accomplished cosmic redemption through apparent weakness. God later anchors this promise in the chapter of the branch to creation's most fundamental rhythm, the cycle of day and night. With divine boldness, he challenges anyone who could break his covenant of day and night, an impossibility that demonstrates the absolute certainty of his word. He said, like the numberless stars of the heaven, and like the immeasurable sand of the sea, my covenant to bring forth a righteous branch out of nothing stands beyond any human ability to thwart. The Hebrew emphasizes the certainty through the repetition of God's personal name, Yehovah, and the word covenant, berit, which is a binding, unbreakable agreement that is sealed with blood. And so God here gives us, by his own name, he swears a cosmic guarantee that transcends human circumstances or failure. You and I cannot mess this up. Just as no power can prevent a sunrise or a sunset, no force, God says, can prevent him from fulfilling his promise to raise up a righteous branch from David's line. This promise, however, of a branch is more than just some type of theological abstraction or word study. It speaks very deeply and personally to our hearts whenever we are undergoing seasons of personal darkness and even occasional despair. Just as God's tender mercy shone through to Jeremiah in prison during a terrible time, God also was pleased to meet you in your lowest moments, offering profound hope and comfort. In other words, when you feel like a dead stump, spiritually dry, emotionally exhausted, relationally broken, this gentle sprout of Christ's living presence, we are reminded, is there, and it's there to bring us new life, restoration, and hope. The branch's mission encompasses both national restoration, God says, as well as internal spiritual transformation. Under his leadership, Judah would experience true salvation, not mere political deliverance, but complete spiritual redemption. Jerusalem, God says, which was once vulnerable to the enemies, would one day dwell completely in safety. Most significantly, he said he would bestow a new name among his people, Yahweh Tzidkenu, which means the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Isn't that a beautiful way to put the gospel? You remember that in America, names are primarily labels to distinguish various people and places. But in Hebrew, names carry far more weight than that. They carry transformative power, representing one's fundamental nature and destiny. This name signifies the complete imputation of Christ's righteousness to his people. Tzidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. The Hebrew word tzedek implies both legal justice and moral uprightness. And this is fascinating because it points and it foreshadows how the branch would make his people both legally and practically righteous through his active and his passive obedience. We are told his reign would extend far beyond Jerusalem and Israel and would encompass the entire earth, bringing mishpat, judgment, and tzedakah, righteousness, to all the nations. This universal mission fulfills God's original covenant promises all the way back in Genesis and reiterated to Moses and David. This universal mission fulfills God's original covenant promises, establishing an eternal kingdom of justice that will last forever. As you well know, this prophecy found its perfect fulfillment in Jesus Christ through both his humble beginnings and his divine majesty. God caused the branch to sprout in the womb of a virgin from David's line who was married to a man also of David's royal lineage. This divine intervention fulfilled both the kingly promise and the prophecy's humble nature. And throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus perfectly, sinlessly executed judgment and righteousness in the land. Unlike all of the failed kings before him, he demonstrated both divine authority and servant leadership together as one. And even his entry into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt rather than a war horse fulfilled Zechariah's prophecy of the lowly king coming to palm leaves. But now exalted to highest heaven, we are told in the new covenant this branch continues to reign through his church. He governs not through worldly power, through political power, through the ballot box, but rather through word and spirit, establishing his righteousness in the hearts of his people and fulfilling the promise that Jerusalem, which is the church, would be called the Lord is our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. In terms of illustrations, Jesus used them a lot, and sometimes they can carry us a long way. The transformative power of the righteous branch, in my opinion, and there's many examples I could give, but I believe it shines brilliantly through the little known but true story of a man called Abba Moses the Black. He was a 4th century African bandit chief whose life, I believe, embodies this prophecy's promise of being renewed. Moses the Black, and we have quite a few historical documents from a monastery and other sources about him, we are told was a giant specimen of a man who was a skilled fighter. He was proficient in Nubian wrestling and Pau Kwa Rashin, which is the ancient martial art of Imperial Kush. Moses the Black made modern-day tough guys and thugs look tame. For example, they have records of Moses doing things such as swimming the crocodile-infested Nile River at nighttime with a blade in his teeth for the purpose of taking out enemy guard dogs. This is a guy who you did not want to cross. He was a murderer. It's no wonder that a violent gang of 75 criminals elected him to be their leaders because he was not only the smartest, but also the best fighter. He gave many persons of that time an express ticket to the hereafter. He looks like a lost cause. And like a dead stump of David's line that would sprout new life, Moses the Black was transformed to become a beacon of Christ's righteousness. And his transformation mirrors the prophetic imagery of the Tzemach, the righteousness, demonstrating how divine strength emerges in unlikely places and only through humility. The records say that while running from the authorities, Moses stumbled upon a monastery in the desert of hermits. And there's three key moments I'd like to share briefly that reveal the branch's righteousness taking root in the life of Black Moses. The first one is, soon after he was there, he chose mercy when attacked by robbers. One night, Moses was alone in his cave cell. The other monks were doing something else when a group of desert bandits attacked them. Moses single-handedly disarmed them. But instead of killing them, he said he wanted to do what Jesus said, and he showed them mercy by sharing the gospel. Miraculously, the abbot of the monastery recorded some of the bandits were actually converted and baptized. The second example is demonstrating Christ-like hospitality over rigid legalism. During a mandatory weekly fast, which was very strictly enforced, Black Moses was greeted by unexpected travelers from the desert who were Christians, so he fixed them a simple meal with what he had on hand. The other monks came to rebuke Moses. But when the abbot saw what happened, he said, "Moses the Black has set aside our man-made traditions to honor God's law of hospitality. Let him be." As he grew in respect and stature, we see him as well showing profound humility when called to judge others. A fellow monk had apparently fallen into some serious sin. We're not sure exactly what it was. And Moses was assigned to be on a jury of his peers. Moses showed up late, and he went to the trial with a leaking bucket of water on his shoulder. The other monks asked him, "What are you doing? You're confusing us." Moses explained, he said, "My sins constantly leak out behind me so frequently that I cannot even see them all. How then do you expect me to judge this brother?" Immediately, the monks forgave the sinning penitent monk. This culmination of his transformation came during a violent monastery attack by Berber raiders. Just as Jesus the Branch entered Jerusalem on a donkey rather than a war horse, Moses chose martyrdom over violence, martyrdom over escaping. He said that he was tired of killing and that he would kill no more. And that since he spent most of his life lived by the sword, it was fitting, he said, to die by the sword for Jesus. His final words echoed Christ's teaching, proving how completely Christ had transformed this former violent terrorist into a vessel of divine peace and a martyr for Jesus. And so the story of Abba Moses the Black powerfully illustrates how the righteous branch continues to bring forth righteousness from seemingly impossible circumstances, from seemingly dead ground, fulfilling Jeremiah's ancient promise that God would establish justice and righteousness in the land. This transforming power of the righteous branch manifests itself practically in various areas. Allow me to briefly share three of them today. First of all, personal transformation. Just as Samach represents new growth and dead ground, Christ is pleased to transform individuals like Black Moses, like you and like me, from spiritual death to life. This happens through daily submission to His Word, prayer, and willing obedience. When facing ethical decisions in the workplace, when facing relationship challenges or personal setbacks, we can trust in His transformative power rather than relying upon sheer willpower and our own strength. The second angle was community impact. The branch's righteousness should shape the way that you and I, the Christians, should engage with our communities. This means pursuing justice in very practical ways whenever we have the opportunity as citizens to do so. Advocating for the vulnerable, showing mercy to people who hate us, and demonstrating Christ-like leadership in various spheres of influence. It doesn't matter whether you're serving on a school board, participating in local government, or simply being a good Christian neighbor. We are called to execute mishpat, justice, and tzedakah, righteousness, in tangible ways. And the third perspective is the global one. The branch's universal reign calls us to think beyond our local context. In our interconnected world, you and I can consciously decide to support justice globally through prayer and support for persecuted believers and the wise stewardship and spending of God's resources. The promise that Jerusalem will one day dwell in perfect peace encourages Christians to promote peace and righteousness to an increasingly divided world. To wrap things up, from Jeremiah's prison, from his prison cell, to Black Moses on the Nile River in Africa, to modern lives transformed by his grace, the branch's work remains as certain as the cycles of day and night which God has established. Jesus' humble yet powerful nature continues to confound worldly expectations, bringing forth righteousness where there was only corruption before. The same covenant promise that once sustained the besieged city of Jerusalem now anchors our hope in the trials that we face. Through Jesus Christ, who is our branch and our eternal King, you and I become living testimonies to Jeremiah's ancient prophecy. We become branches of righteousness, bearing fruit in a world longing for divine justice and transforming grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Greg Cumbie. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.